being obsessive about it and being passionate to the point where it's overtaking your entire life is absolutely not healthy. And just the process of unlearning all of that was really eye-opening.
All right, welcome back to the Society Says podcast, everyone. Thank you for joining me another week listening to another episode. Today I'm here joined with Piper. You can go ahead and introduce yourself, Piper.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am living in Portland with my boyfriend and one of my best friends. And yeah, I graduated from PSU last year with a degree in history and French, and I've just been nannying as my job, but I'm moving into the paralegal field pretty soon, and that's really exciting. Yeah, I'm just happy to be here.
That's awesome. Okay, I did not know that you continued to study French into college.
I had no
Can
idea.
You believe it?
Yeah,
the only reason I did was out of like necessity for requirements, but then I ended up studying abroad my senior year and figured out that I had enough credits to make it a minor, and actually really enjoyed the process of studying linguistics and the language. So it ended up being a good thing after crazy high school classes.
Wow. Yeah, because I know you were pretty into it in high school and like you went pretty far with like the classes. I quit as soon as I could, like as soon as I had the credits. Wow, that's really awesome. Tell me about the career that you're wanting to go into, the paralegal. Like, what is your goal with that?
It's actually a really new decision. It's kind of funny that I'm even like talking about it because I just like told my friends and family. But yeah, I've just kind of been feeling like I haven't been using my degree, and being a nanny is very rewarding and fulfilling in itself, but I'm definitely getting burnt out on it because I've been doing it since I was like 15. So yeah, I just realized that I never really asked myself, like, if I could do anything in the world, what would it be? And after thinking about it, it was like in the law field, studying law, researching law. I had so much practice researching and writing with my history degree that, yeah, it just blew my mind that I'd never even asked myself that question. So after researching like the best options in that field in terms of like amount of school that you had to go to and the job descriptions and that kind of thing, it just seems like the best fit for me right now. And I'm really, really excited. It's just the thought of pursuing a new career other than just nannying is such an exciting prospect.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited for you, and I hope that all goes smoothly.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a process.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but you got this for sure.
Oh,
if
yeah.
if
oh,
you
yeah.
can stick with French for so long, I know you can get through it.
Oh my gosh, seriously. High school French is another world.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into our first topic for today. I know that you have shared with me a little bit about your experience with body image and just healthy eating, and also experiences with unhealthy eating, and you know, going through like obsessions with working out and just different things like that. So to kick it off, just what is kind of your story with body image and all of that?
Yeah, I think I have a really similar story to a lot of girls who went through a time where they thought that eating extremely healthy, obsessing over working out 6 to 7 days a week and spending 3+ hours at the gym every day, and taking before and after photos weekly, and like it, just making it my top priority ever over everything, over my relationship, over my friendships, over school, and thinking that that was the right thing to do because it was healthy. And then being diagnosed with orthorexia in like halfway through college was like such a surprise to me that I was like, well, how could I have something wrong with me if I'm being so healthy? How can that be a bad thing? And having to go through the process of unlearning a lot of diet tricks and working out fads and stuff, and realizing that just because it may be healthy for some people, being obsessive about it and being passionate to the point where it's overtaking your entire life is absolutely not healthy. And just the process of unlearning all of that was really eye-opening.
Yeah, everybody has like a different health path. And I feel like that within itself can be a little bit frustrating when you are looking to get healthy and find that healthy state for your body, because it's hard to look towards other people and like what works for them, because it might be co the complete opposite for you.
Totally.
So I don't think I've ever actually heard of, is it orthorexia? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's just I'm not sure about like the technical term or anything, but the way that my therapist described it to me was basically an unhealthy obsession with healthy behaviors, healthy in quotes, meaning eating and working out. So not necessarily undereating or overeating, but just obsessing over the quantity and the types of food you're putting into your body. And the behaviors that I was that she noted were the most unhealthy were things like calorie tracking to the extent of paying attention to every bite that was going into your mouth and tracking the calories I was burning at the gym and looking up ways to burn fat in particular places where that's not even possible, let alone healthy. And yeah, so it's a difficult eating disorder to have because the other eating disorders, it is possible to tell physically, like looking at somebody if they have one, not always, obviously, but like anorexia, you can lose an incredible amount of weight in such a short amount of time. Or with bulimia, it's the same thing. With purging or binging or any of that, it seems like such an obvious no-no in my mind. And so having being able to follow a set of rules that describe a healthy way of eating or a healthy way of working out screams like, yes, you should do that. But yeah, when it's overtaking your life, then it's not beneficial for you at all, mentally or physically.
Yeah, now that you like describe it, I can probably count maybe two people that I know that probably struggle with that as well. And like I'm glad that you're actually educating me this on this, 'cause I didn't even know that was like a thing, you know? And now that I'm thinking about those two people that I have in mind, like I've tried helping them over the years to realize that like maybe counting calories isn't for them, you know, maybe it doesn't work for them or whatever it might be. And now I'm realizing that I think it just takes a little bit more to for some people to realize maybe what path they should be walking. To be completely honest, I'm still trying to figure out like
Me too,
what.
100%.
It's so hard. And I think it changes over the years too, because our bodies change over the years. And it's just hard to like, once you feel like maybe you found like what works for you, it's just like, I feel like it changes like the next month.
Absolutely. Like it's one thing to be told something is wrong, and it's another thing to know it in your head that it's wrong, but then it's a whole other thing to practice that. And like, even though I've changed my workout routine and I've taken it down from 6 to 7 days a week to 3 or 2 or sometimes none. And I've changed my eating habits. I went vegan for a whole year just to lose weight, and I did not need to lose weight. There's no need. And so I've taken a step back from that. I'm eating, I have no restrictions on my diet. Like I let myself eat whatever, but that doesn't change the mindset so easily. Changing your behaviors doesn't necessarily change your mindset. And every day I still look in the mirror and have problems with what I look like, but it's still hard to justify only working out 3 days a week or justify me eating this piece of pizza, but I have to do it because somebody told me, and I know now that that's what I need to do, but it's definitely hard.
Yeah, and obviously, some people have to think about it more than others, but I do think that all of us, in one way or another, think about what we put into our body probably more than what we realize. Especially nowadays, I feel like it's very vocal throughout the world, just take like food in general and what we're putting into our body, what's good, what's bad, what gives you energy, what helps you with a workout, whatever it might be. But I wanted to ask you, you kind of just made me think of this. So a lot of people talk about how nothing will change with your physical body if your mindset isn't in a good, healthy place. Like if you don't feel good about yourself and love who you are, like nothing's gonna change no matter how much you work out. How do you, like, do you believe that? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I totally see that as possible. I know that for me, I know that my body has changed over the years. Like, I have pictures to prove it, and with body dysmorphia or not, I know other people can see it. But I know for sure that even at my like quote unquote best figure, it wasn't good enough for me. And there's always something like I needed to, whatever it is, I don't want to like trigger anybody listening to it, but like whatever it was that I was focused on that week wasn't good enough. And I had people all around me saying like, you look great, you look so good, you're doing so great. And I was like, that's not true, because like I don't see it that way. And even today, like my boyfriend tells me every day, you didn't gain weight, you didn't do this, you don't look like this. And I'm like, okay, but that's what you think. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. If you have a mindset of wanting to look your best, you'll never get there unless you change your mindset.
It's and I think that's a hard thing to maintain, especially if we're somebody who moves slower getting to our goals, it's hard to not get discouraged. Like right now, I'm trying to see if I am have the body type where I can see visible abs. I don't know if I do, I might not, but I want to see. And I know that it's going to be a long process if I ever get to that point, but like some days some weeks I have this thought process where I'm just like, ugh, I'm never going to get there, like, and I just get down on myself and I have to remember that I just need to snap out of that. As hard as it is, like I think that personally, I think that mindset can go such a long way. You know, just loving your body even through like its worst stages, just knowing that it's your body and just like you yourself, it goes through rough stages and just to love it, you know?
And it's so hard because I know that like that every girl is beautiful, and I would never tell any girl that I don't like the way they look, but we can be so hard on ourselves, and it's just this internalized hatred of the way we look, and it's horrible, but we're
No.
getting there.
I know it's so it's amazing to me that we can feel and see things completely different about ourselves than what other people see. It's amazing. And again, I try to tell myself to believe me people when they tell me that like I look really good or it looks like I am like toning up because my husband, he also will like tell me that like it looks like I'm toning up and kind of
That's his
shredding.
job.
Yeah, and like I'm just like, well, you're supposed to say that. You know, nothing has changed, but I have to stop myself some days and be like, maybe it's true. You know, like maybe I'm just not seeing anything because I'm so focused on what I want to look like, you know. Going back to food, what do you think that people's relationship with food should be?
Oh boy. I mean, I have absolutely no credibility in talking about what people's relationship with food should be, because my relationship to food changes every day. I like genuinely, I will wake up one day and be like, okay, I'm starting over my life. I'm only eating healthy food. I'm going to cook every meal at home. And then by dinner time, I'm like, Christian, my boyfriend, Christian, do you want to go get Hawaiian food for dinner? And he's like, I thought, okay, yeah, sure. So it changes every day, and it's so, I think for so many people, it's linked to emotion. And like, you know, if we're stressed or we're sad or we're happy or we're even like angry, there are certain comfort foods or celebration foods. And so kind of, I think it is important to unhinge emotion from eating and from assigning bad and good to different foods, because no food is good or bad. There's food that might have more a balanced nutrition label to it, but it's not bad to eat ice cream. It's not bad to have takeout or whatever. But it's so hard to unlink that connection in your brain.
It is, and it goes back to what we see in the media too.
Yeah.
We see that we shouldn't be eating those things, and I appreciate all the people, all like the influencers out there that have so many followers that show that they eat stuff like ice cream and stuff, and like they do it on a pretty regular basis
Right,
too.
and that it's not a big like my cheat meal of the week. Like, it's okay if it's not a cheat meal, if it's just a regular meal.
Yeah, it's just
Yeah.
part of your what you eat, you know.
Yeah. The important thing that I've learned though is by slowly releasing those good and bad labels and just really listening to my body and figuring out what foods make me feel energetic, what foods make me have a headache, like which foods make my stomach hurt, which foods give me jitters or something like that. Like really like listening to how my body responds to it, that's how you can tell what food is good for your body personally. And yeah, like I drink coffee every day and I know it's horrible for me because I have a headache, I have jitters, my stomach hurts, and yet I still drink it. But yeah, just listening to your own body instead of listening to what other people are saying is important.
I'm glad you brought that up because growing up, like the majority of my life up until like 2 years ago, I was one of those people that could eat anything, like anything, and I did eat anything and everything. And it was up until 2 years ago that things started just making me throw up and making my stomach rock hard and feel horrible. And I came to find out that, I'm allergic to gluten and there's other things that affect me that I'm still trying to figure out. But through this journey, it has really made me want to take so much care for my body.
Yeah.
And I know that there's so many people that out there that have food problems like that, where, things make them really sick or they like feel like they're missing out on certain things. Like when I first found out I couldn't have gluten, it was like the end of the world for me.
I bet.
But over time, like I realized that, I don't know, being so focused on my body with like what I can eat and what makes me feel really good has actually made me come to really love my body, and like it's like top priority to take care of it now.
Yeah,
Obviously, like
totally.
I'll still eat stuff every once in a while that doesn't make me feel super great just because I love it. But nobody's perfect. But I wanted to say that because I think focusing on your body in like the right way can be really good and it can make you
Yeah.
appreciate it more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about working out and just kind of how some people might kind of overdo it. They're a little bit obsessed with it. Some people might only work out a couple times a week. Do you think that there really is a point where people work out too much?
Yeah, I do. I'm like firm stance, absolutely. Unless you are, no, because even if you are a professional athlete, you need time to rest, you need time for your body to recuperate. And like, there was absolutely no reason for me to be at the gym 7 days a week. It was doing harm to my body. I hurt my, what's it called? It's okay, not a big deal. I hurt my hip basically.
Shoot.
What is that called? Oh, IT band. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I hurt my IT band when I was stretching, or doing workouts without stretching before, and I was like doing squats way too much, just too many squats for one person, and like running uphill just because I was like, okay, if I run uphill, I'm gonna sweat more, which means I'll lose more weight. And it was just like insane thinking, when the reality is, if I move my body, if anybody moves their body enough to where they feel a little burst of energy, they feel some serotonin, they feel maybe their muscles relax a little bit, that's a healthy amount of exercise. Like, again, it's just listening to your body. If you're coming home from the gym like I was, with your body screaming in pain before you even had a chance for your muscles to like become sore, like that's when you know you're overdoing it.
Yeah, I think that's really key to just listen to your body. Yeah, I'm glad that you made that aware. So before we move on, I just want to ask you, since you've been open about just, your eating disorder, things that you've struggled with in the past, what were some of the bigger challenges that you faced when you were going through that?
I guess a huge thing that I was going through was just the change in my body and having to be okay with that and having to learn that that was a normal part of growing up. I did a lot of like comparing who I was at 21 to who I was at 18 and being like, they look different. And like, yeah, of course they look different. You're not a teenager anymore. Like, you're gonna start growing in places you didn't think you were. This sounds like puberty, but you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna put weight on your hips, you're gonna put weight on your legs, and that's like normal and healthy and a process of getting older. And yeah, I was diagnosed with the eating disorder like 5 months before I went to France for a semester abroad, and I gained so much weight in France, and it was amazing because I just ate so much. I drank way too much. Like, it was just like the most freeing experience. The first night that I got to France was the first night that I broke vegan in a year. The first night I was like, screw this. I'm in France. I'm not going to be vegan anymore. And yeah, just like tasting that pizza for the first night was like, this is worth it. This is worth my body changing.
I love that. And then one last thing, just what helped you to move towards like a healthier habits?
Honestly, a big part of it was letting my close circle of friends and family know what I was going through and to ask them to not talk about weight or calories or working out. If they wanted to ask me to like join them at the gym, like to not do that. To try not to like put labels on food the way I had been for the last year. And it was hard to ask them to do that. I had like three roommates at the time, because they had been right there with me and they knew me as that girl who, sorry, I can't hang out. I'm gonna go to the gym. Sorry, I can't smoke tonight because I'm gonna eat this entire bag of chips and I just can't do that. Like, I was just always making excuses because of being that person. So that was a big difference. And they really respected it to just be like, and a lot of them were like, yeah, you probably should take a step back from all of this. I'm proud of you. And it felt really good to just be like noticed and accepted, even
Yeah.
though it was hard, yeah.
I love that. That's good. And I mean, the people that are close to you in life, they should be loving and supportive with what you need. And I think if anyone that's listening is going through something where you think you need to have a talk with your family about something like that, something that you need help with them, to help you move towards maybe a healthier state, even if it's not like working out or eating disorder, just know that like they love you. The people that are closest to you, they're there and I'm sure that they're going to be supportive and do what needs to be done.
Right. And if they aren't, then you have every right to take a step back from them for a minute and allow yourself to heal and grow without that. Yeah.
You know what I was just reminded of?
What?
I can't believe I forgot about this. We did yoga for a summer. Do you remember that? You would pick me up in your mom's minivan and we went to the YMCA and did yoga together.
Oh my gosh, that feels like a million years ago. Oh my gosh, when I was driving my mom's minivan. Wow.
You had just gotten your driver's license because I remember you were like, I'm still kind of nervous to change lanes.
I still am, let's be real.
Oh my gosh, wow. That was like the
Wow.
first experience I had with yoga, and now I do yoga like every day.
Yoga's great, man. It's a great way to just move your body, feel good,
I
and
love
fall
it.
asleep at the end.
Seriously, oh my gosh, the amount of times I've fallen asleep on my floor. So obviously everything we've talked about, mental health goes with that as well.
Totally.
So much of what we do, mental health is just there with us, and we need to make sure that we are paying attention to that as well. And I know that you and I actually share a couple of things that we struggle with, one of those being anxiety. So what is your experience with anxiety?
Yeah, I have a huge long laundry list of experience with anxiety, but I guess the main part of it, I have generalized anxiety, attachment disorders, with which is just a whole other thing. It's just sorry, I haven't talked about this in a long time, so I'm like, it's like in my
So
head. But okay, yeah, so my experience with anxiety feels like it started when I was like a toddler. Like, as long as I can remember, I have had like sensory overload issues where loud noises and crowds and even like smells and lights are just way too intense, and I have to sit out a lot of the time. I have problems with dependency and attachment disorders, which stem from past relationships and family issues. And on top of all that, I have OCD leanings, which is how my therapist said. She doesn't want to say that I have OCD because I don't think it's at that point, but she called them OCD leanings, which are tend to manifest themselves in obsessive thoughts about the end of days and that kind of thing. So, yeah, my anxiety kind of spans a whole wide range of things, but what's really helped is finding a good support group of people around me, learning as much as I can, and going to therapy for sure.
yeah, therapy was something I wanted to ask if that was something that you did. I've had a lot of people tell me that, like, their experience with therapy, and I 100% agree with therapy. I just have such a stubborn personality that I'm like, I don't know if I'd be the greatest as like a patient, but I'm sure that one day I'll go because I struggle with like a lot of anxiety like at night.
Me too.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
have like major sleep paralysis and I like see hallucinations throughout the night, so I like don't look forward to sleep at all. And so many people have told me that I need to go see a therapist, and I'm like, I will go one of these days when I'm not so stubborn and such like an a-hole.
It's definitely a huge like task to undertake finding a therapist and going there, and then if they don't work out, you have to go through the whole thing over again, and it's sometimes it feels like more work than it's worth, but
Yeah, and it can, what you're telling them is very, you're opening up about a lot of things that you would probably only normally open up to people that are closer to you, or at least that you know.
yeah, right, as a stranger.
Yeah, but I think it's good that you have dabbled in therapy. I think I think it's a very mature thing to do because you're taking care of yourself, you know, and I used to be one of those people that thought that therapy was like, oh, it doesn't work or whatever. It's only for like people that just want to cry about things. But like, no, it works. It's a very good tool. So your anxiety and OCD didn't come from like a specific thing that happened to you, right? But do you have, because I know for my anxiety, I have a lot of triggers. Like I will be having a great day and then something will happen because my anxiety comes from PTSD. So something will happen and like I can just like that switch my whole mood.
Totally.
So do you have
Definitely.
triggers as well, or is it just something like your environment that kind of does it for you?
A lot of my triggers are sensory based, so and those can happen in my living room, like, and they sound silly, but it's things like if Christian, my boyfriend's like eating next to me, I like can't handle it, and I have, this is silly too, but I have like a stress ball, which like seems so crazy because it's like such a small thing, but just being able to like focus my sensory receptors on one thing really helps block out the other things. But other than that, it's really hard to block out lights and sounds. I jump at everything. I jump at people like sniffing next to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And like yeah, if like loud cars go by, I'm like a dog. Like I'm like, what was that? Yeah, so a lot of it's sensory stuff, but there's also like triggers that come from past relationships. I think that there are definitely if I hadn't addressed them with my current boyfriend, they would be issues, but you know, it's not anything that I experience on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I that's so good that you are with somebody that you feel comfortable to like talk about that, just things that could potentially be a trigger for, just something that could just make you have like a bad day or week, you know? So that's really good to hear. Speaking of that, how has like your mental health affected your previous relationships and also just like your friendships and family members?
That's a really good question. I, yeah, mental health was a huge proponent in my last relationship. I was really going through a lot. And I didn't really understand it fully. I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I needed to fix it. I thought I needed to work on myself. And that really damaged my self-esteem and my confidence. And my boyfriend actually reinforced those beliefs like pretty heavily that it was something I needed to fix. So it's taken, that relationship ended about 2 years ago, I think. And so it's taken, I mean, that whole time I've been growing and learning and unlearning and trying to realize that mental health is just a state of my mental health is just a state of my being, and there are things I can do to manage it every day, but it's never going to go away. And being with somebody, you're being around people who think that it's something that needs to go away, doesn't need to be discussed, doesn't need to be or like shouldn't be focused on, is really damaging. So yeah, and my family saw me go through that oops, sorry, every day. And they, you know, my mom is was always trying to help me realize that this is anxiety, this is OCD, this is trauma, this is whatever it is. And I had a really hard time just realizing that it was part of who I was and wasn't like a fault of mine, if that makes sense. Especially like the sensitivity stuff. I was around a group of friends who were the opposite of me. They liked cliff diving and swimming across the lake and jumping off of high things and things that I like could not even watch, let alone do. So I was always sitting out and mid panic attack and always feeling like I wasn't cool enough to hang out with him. I was boring. I was lame. I was sensitive. And realizing that sensitivity is a personality trait that can be positive too was a huge eye opener.
Oh man, I can agree with the whole anxiety with the people who love adrenaline rushes.
Yes, not me.
Oh my gosh. Every time I go on vacation with my husband, I'm a little stressed, like low key, because he is an adrenaline junkie and I'm not.
It's an exciting life. It's fun to be around, but hard to participate in.
There are things I want to participate in. I just like it takes me a lot longer to work up to it than it does for him.
Totally. It'll take me. The one time I jumped off of a cliff, it was like a 12-foot cliff, maybe. It was like barely taller than me. And it took me like 25 minutes. And I was just like sitting there, like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I know. Oh my gosh. It's just so interesting how some people can just do stuff like that and some of us can't. It's insane to think how everyone's brain is just wired differently.
Yeah. And like realizing that just because I don't enjoy those things doesn't make me a lame person because I enjoy other really cool things that just don't involve me almost dying.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the first time Angel and I were in Hawaii, he woke up one day and it was like my birthday week. And he woke up one day and he was like, "Oh, I have an idea of something that would be fun, that me and Staria can do." And he comes to me and he was like, "Let's go skydiving today." And like, I had a full blown anxiety attack. I was like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, like I can't." And he was like, "Okay, we don't." He's like, "It's okay."
And you're like, but if you want to do it, like, I guess I'll do it.
I know, like I start getting angry because I consider myself like a really cool person, like I feel like I do fun stuff, and when I'm faced with something that I just literally can't get myself to do because I'm just so scared or I'm having so much anxiety, I get so angry with myself because I'm like, I just want to be like, I want to be able to do something like that.
I know, that's so funny. That's exactly like my boyfriend right now. He's gonna kill me because I'm saying this on a podcast, but we went to the theme park that's like right by us. It's Oaks Park in Portland, and there was one ride that he could not do because he was convinced that it was gonna break and he was gonna die. And I went on it with our friends, and he like sat there and he was so angry. He was like, "I just want to be able to do it, but I can't do it."
It's a very
I get
upsetting
that.
thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're any less fun. Anyone that's listening, you're not any less fun. You still
Absolutely.
do cool stuff. You don't have to go jump out of an airplane or go on a roller coaster to be one of those people.
All the moms of the group are my friends. We're just a group of moms. That's how it should be.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. So you just graduated high or not high school, college, right? So how I kind of just want to touch on this. How was dealing with anxiety and OCD while you were going to school, and even honestly in high school too?
School was a saving grace. I love school. I love having a purpose and having something to just buckle down and do it. I studied my butt off in school. I graduated summa cum laude. I like did the whole thing. I was really, really proud of myself at the end of the term because, or at the end of the whole 4 years because I just worked my butt off. But I'm excited now to go back to school for a paralegal certificate, and I just crave like learning stuff. That's why I listen to podcasts every day. It just feels like, and read books. Like it just feels like that's what we were meant to do, is just learn as much as possible. So that sounds really cheesy, but that's like my passion is learning. So
That honestly makes me so happy. Like, I honestly was expecting your answer to be more like it was really tough and like having so much homework. Like, we both went to Newport. It's
yes.
so much
Honestly,
work.
Newport felt harder than college just because, I guess, because I didn't get to pick what path I took at Newport. It was just kind of, obviously high school is just like laid out for you, but being able to choose the classes and professors made college a breeze. So, I mean, not a breeze, it was hard work, but so much more enjoyable.
Well, I did my last 2 years of high school doing I went to Bellevue College.
Yeah.
Wow, the classes were so much easier than Newport. I was like, what is this high school that we go to? It is like beyond like a university level. Like, it's insane.
And the whole time they were like, college will not be this easy. You like, we are prepping you for college. And I'm like, are you? I guess it depends where you go to college, but
Everyone I know that went to college afterwards, they're like, Newport was harder. But no, that makes me happy that school is like a positive thing for you, that it helps with just keeping you focused on something else. I think that's really awesome. Also, I just love hearing when people go to college and it's because they genuinely just love school. They love learning.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't go to college because, not even in terms of like where my career would be or anything, just like I really enjoyed the academic aspect of it. The social aspect was a little different just because I had a long distance boyfriend and most of my friends were back home, and I had a few friends in college who were amazing, still are my best friends. But yeah, it was just the social aspect was really different, I think, than most college experiences. And it, you know, there weren't frats, there wasn't a Greek row, so there weren't any like parties or anything like that, which honestly was probably good because it helped me focus on school and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I will tell you now that the life of choosing not to go to college is a rough one. You got to be dedicated to that choice for
Girl,
sure.
you got to be dedicated because every day I'm like, how in the world are you moving to a new place? That alone is insanity to me. Moving twice once every 2 years is too much for me.
That is so funny. Well, I think most people are like that. I'm just like the odd, I'm kind of in the odd group where I have to move like every 3 months or else I start to actually go into depression. Depression runs in my family and I know what triggers my depression. It's when I don't have enough change in my life. And I've already like told Angel this. I'm like, look, even when we have kids, like I understand that we can't like keep moving them to different schools, but like we need to be like going on vacations and stuff, like road trips, because I am not the type of person that settles down at all. So I'm glad. I think that I would have struggled a lot with my mental health if I would have went to college so much.
Well, I'm so you have so much self-awareness to be able to know that, and also to be with somebody who that was the prereq for your guys' marriage was he had to be able to go along with this, and he seems like the kind of guy who's definitely up for that.
Yeah, his lifestyle where he travels, like he's literally a nomad and I'm a nomad. I'm like, perfect. We're gonna
That's
make
great.
this work. So I just want to finish up talking about mindset. And as corny as this might sound, believing in yourself and how we can get to that state. Because I think there's so many people that they want to believe in themselves, but there's things in society and the world that kind of holds them back. And I just kind of want to hear your input on that.
Yeah, I think this is something that I've really struggled with my entire life. Like touching on it before, feeling like the boring one or the lame one in the friend group, and then always struggling with these sensory issues and anxiety made me feel like I would never have the ability to do everything that I wanted to. And something about honestly, being in quarantine has been a huge reason for me changing this mindset. There were like multiple occasions where I woke up and realized that I'm at a place in my life, I'm privileged enough to be able to do whatever I want to do. Like, and it blew my mind. And like one of them was thinking about the career path. I was like, well, you know, I wanted to be a teacher, but I don't really want to follow that path anymore. So I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe I'll just be a nanny for the rest of my life because that's all I have experience in and that's all I can do. And then realizing, hang on, let me rephrase this. If I could do anything I wanted in the world, what could you do? And like realizing that I have the capacity to do that is like life changing. Or even like Even like realizing that, okay, Portland's rainy 85% of the time, and I love when I wake up and it's a sunny day. And like realizing that if I really, really wanted to, I could move anywhere I wanted to. Like I could make that happen somehow. And that just little things like that, where you're like realizing that you have the ability to make changes in your life. And I think it's really hard for people and women especially to believe that they have that kind of agency, but
Yeah, I think there's a lot of power behind believing in yourself and recognizing that it's your life and that you can make the choices that need to be made. I also am a firm believer that we need to put ourselves in uncomfortable positions. Obviously, if it's going to cause problems, because I know that some people like I know that there are some people, excuse me, that struggle with mental health on like a whole other level. sorry, losing my voice a little. That maybe like they can't like put themselves in certain positions, but if you're able to, I think challenging yourself in something that's going to make you uncomfortable is one way to start believing in yourself because I think I feel like I've always been confident in who I am, but what made me really realize how strong I am was moving to a whole other country all on my own and like never having been out of the US before until then. And I went through having dengue fever and like literally feeling like I was on my deathbed at one point and just literally being all alone in a country and nobody speaks English. And it was a true test to how I feel about myself. And it was uncomfortable at times where I just wasn't sure what my reality was going to end up being. But ultimately, it pulled out this side of me, like believing in myself, it pulled out this side of me that was just amazing. And it's ever since coming back to America, like I feel like that side of me is dormant. Like more so. So that's why I like encourage people to just do something that's outside of their comfort zone because you'll feel that fire in you, and that is you believing in yourself.
Or just questioning, like, what would I be doing right now if I could be doing anything? Like, if nothing were stopping me, what would I be doing right now? And finding your way to that is a cool process. And obviously not everything is going to be in arm's reach, especially now during quarantine, but just letting yourself think about that. I don't think I ever let myself think about that. And and realizing that some people go through life seeing everything as a challenge. My boyfriend's one of those people, and I really envy him. Anything that he isn't immediately good at, he sees as, I'm going to work off my ass to get good at this thing. And if I'm immediately not good at something, the first thought in my head is, oh, I guess I'm not very good at that. I'm going to try something else. And that's just like so, it's just such a different mindset to have. And it's really held me back in a lot of ways. So I'm excited to apply this mindset in the future because I know there's going to be countless opportunities where I'm going to see something and my first thought is to walk away, but you should walk towards that.
Yeah. So this was probably like what, 2 weeks ago or something that I realized that you are amazing at art. Like you have an amazing talent with that. And I remember telling you that and you were like, yeah, like I'm just barely like kind of realizing that a little bit. And there was kind of like a little, like I could tell that you weren't totally sure of it with with yourself. But now that you are starting to publicly post your art, how is that feeling putting like your talent out there for like the whole world to see?
It's scary. It's like I'm always scared of how I'm coming across to people. I never want to come across as like I think I'm really good, and then people look at it and they're like, well, she's not that good. Or I don't want, people from past friendships and stuff, or even people from high school to be making fun of me or whatever because they don't like it, and that's just such a limited way of thinking. Like, who cares? I don't talk to any of these people. Who cares what they think? And other people like it, and also it's just really fun and super rewarding to like finish a piece and then show my roommates and be like, look what I just did. It's so amazing. It's so fun. And they're like, that looks so good. You should definitely post that. Like, or even just like sending a text to my mom and being like, look at what I did. And she's like, I didn't know you could do that. Like, that feels good.
It does feel good. I was just thinking about this today, with like anybody that makes art. We have like our go-to people that we get super excited to show our work to. And I think that's so important to remember that you're always going to have fans in anything that you do. Like, people are gonna love what you do. And we're also always going to have a group of people that are just haters, you know? And I think that's just, it's important to remember that. But I'm so proud of you for putting your stuff out there. It's seriously
Thank
really
you.
good. Like,
Thank you.
yeah, I'm very proud of you for doing that. To wrap up, is there anything that you feel like we didn't touch with the whole mindset thing? I know that we could like just go on and on about this, but we are running out of time. So is there anything that you want to touch on before we end this topic?
I don't think so. I think it's all been said.
Okay, so I am starting to end every episode this way. I ask everyone just to give like one piece of advice on any topics that we talked about today. What is just a piece of advice that you have for anybody that's listening?
Oh boy. I guess whether it be about eating disorders or mental health, don't let those limit you in any way that's out of your control, like, or that's in your control. So like if your eating disorder or your mental health has been hindering you in a way that's very tangible, I encourage you to find ways to break out of that in other aspects. So like not letting your mental health define you completely, allowing it to be part of yourself, but allowing yourself to think of yourself as its own person. This is a really long-winded way of saying just allow yourself to do what you want to do.
Just be yourself, right?
Just be your well, be yourself, but also I think a lot of people think that being themselves is one tiny little thing, but your being yourself can be so huge. Like you can be anything that you want to be. You know what I mean? And a lot of people who have low self-esteem because of mental health and eating disorders, it's hard for them to think of themselves as anything more than that. So just allow yourself to, yeah, to believe in yourself, to have a higher standard for yourself.
I love that. Yeah. Look at yourself more than just what your struggles are.
Yeah, or how other people, how you assume that other people see you is not how we see you. And yeah.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Yeah, we never know how many people we inspire or motivate them to, you know, work towards something that they've been wanting to work towards.
Exactly.
I think all of us have had experiences where someone has told us, like, oh my gosh, like, you're such an inspiration to me. And like, we're kind of like, wait, what?
Right. Yeah, you never know how much you're affecting somebody else, or you never know how important you are. I remember the first thing that my boyfriend said to me when we met, one of the first things he said after 4 or 5 years of me feeling like so unimportant, he said, you're the main character in so many people's stories. And I just was floored that somebody thought that. So, like, just realize that other people see you in different ways.
Yeah, it's so true. I have to say, you were once like the main character in my life. Like, when we were on the same dance team for a little bit, that was like the highlight of my time dancing because you, like being on company with us, that company dance team, you were like the one person on that dance team that I just like, you inspired me so much. And like, that was the year I came out of my like shy shell that I was in, just because it was, you were a huge influence on that. So.
That is so good to hear. Those memories are so, like, I hold them in such a sweet little place in my heart, all those dance memories.
Yeah. Well, you're awesome, Piper. And I'm so glad we could talk. It's been so long since I've actually like seen your face
I
and
know, it's
talked to
crazy.
you. Well, thank you everyone who joined us this week and listened to this episode. Again, I hope that everybody is staying safe out there and just, you know, think before you decide to make action. I know there's a lot of craziness going on in the world right now, so just stay safe with whatever it is that you're doing, and I will see you guys next week.